Hey, America.
Start listening now.
All right. It's a nice, bright, and early-ish Friday morning. Everyone's still in their pajamas.
Pajama cast, pajama cast, pajama cast, pajama cast.
Nobody wearing pants. And welcome to another pantsless episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision pantcast from Switzer Pants. This is Stop Working. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Liz.
And Amera Pants would have really worked, actually.
Yeah. What I should have said was 12 Pants from America. Yeah.
You missed the obvious softball. 12
Pants go to us. Okay, look. So we're kind of combining the Thursday and Friday segments here for one super fun super show, and also to there's only so much time in the week over here, to be honest.
I will say, you know, making the decision to not record last night allowed us to have what I like to think of is one of our favorite 12 Points from America traditions.
Oh yes.
And that was night pasta.
Night pasta.
Yeah
night pasta.
Yeah, we basically got home relatively early from the press center, you know, after the show ended, and just made a massive batch of pasta and just carbo-loaded and comfort food and a glass of wine, just as we just decompressed as we head to the marathon that is going to be Friday and Saturday at Eurovision.
Yeah. Shout out to Derek for doing a lot of the legwork on that, by the way.
Basically all of it. You know, the cacio e pepe master next to me is...
like three ingredients. I mean.
Cacio, well, pepe, and pasta, but...
It is, but like, despite its simplicity, it is so easy to screw up. Like, it's a weirdly difficult thing to make. Speaking of weirdly difficult, Sam, hit him with the socials. I kind of feel bad about that.
No shame. Okay. You can find us on all these standard and substandard social media outlets at 12pointsUSA, or just find us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, especially this crazy week. If you want to support us, you can either do a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account, that's ko-fi, or you can join us on a monthly basis with a sustained donation over on Patreon. Patreon is... really been supporting us through this week. Switzerland is not a cheap country. I'm sure you all know that at home, but we really do appreciate it. Patrons do get early access to episodes, some special bonus features, and it's just another way to get in touch with us. Want a shout out to our newest patron, Vince. Welcome to the family. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Vince.
Woo! Yay, Vince! And other ways to support. Yeah, you can also find some of our random merchandise over on our Redbubble as well. If you want a t-shirt or some stickers or something like that, yeah, just find us that way.
Yeah, hang out with us there. We'll have some bonus stuff from the show after we get home and get some sleep and stuff like that too. It has been a really, really good week so far.
Yeah.
And Semi 2 did not disappoint. I think we just dive into it.
Do we want to get a rant from Danny in here somewhere?
Yeah. At some point, perhaps when you least expect it, there will be a rant from Danny about how this went, how the Peacock broadcast was, since I know that was a bit of a point of contention last time. We'll just have to see. It could show up. You could show up wherever.
Yeah. For the record, for our friends, especially in the United States, who are dissatisfied with the Peacock service.
It's not our fault.
One, it's not our fault. We're trying our best. Two, just a little knowledge out there that Eurovision.de, the German website, tends to be pretty available to folks from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So just a little tip to keep in your back pocket if for some odd reason you don't have access to Peacock or it's just not working for you.
I think SVT also hosts it. Mm-hmm. Yep. I was able to get to them. Yeah, get to the show through them once.
Yeah, there are a couple of broadcasters that are good. Yeah.
SVT has an app on like Apple TV and those sorts of devices as well. So that makes it a little easier as well. And that's our show. all right. So we had an unbelievable second semifinal. I hope that we didn't... I don't think we oversold, you know, like Malta and some of the other things. Like, you were not prepared for how crazy this show is. But at the end of the day, we had to say goodbye to six countries. Biggest shock here, easily. The Milkshake Man himself, Australia.
No!
Didn't get through, and I'm not sure what happened here, but...
I mean, the staging was so fabulous. He was incredibly engaging. Part of me almost thinks that he suffered by going first and being, I guess, overshadowed by some other cheeky entries later on in the show. Maybe his vocals weren't quite 100%.
I kind of felt that too. He didn't seem to have quite the power that he had had in some of the other performances.
Yeah. But it was so fun.
It was just so good. It's shocking.
I'm just going to pour one milkshake out for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It is kind of strange. I was looking online last night and a lot of people were saying they had Australia on their list to qualify, and that was the one that didn't. Like, consistently, everyone was like, wow, I didn't think Australia wasn't going to do it.
Yeah.
So we're not the only ones shocked, I guess. Nice to see that he had the support, but...
I think that the only people who are happy, really, about Australia not going through are the tech team.
Oh, they never have to set up that blender again.
Yeah.
That was tough.
That was...
Let's be honest, though. That's not the only thing there.
Oh, I know, but one just removing one pancake from the giant stack of crepes that they have to get through. It's a help.
It turns out Australia, looking back at my notes from our last recording, was the first of just a handful of things that we were very wrong about. More on that shortly.
Yeah. Well, Montenegro also out. Not a surprise. We said on the show that we thought Ireland was out, but by the time we got to the press poll and just sort of got the vibe of the folks here in Basel, I think we were all kind of bracing ourselves to be wrong about that, that it was going to get through, because it seemed like people just thought it was fun and everything. But you know what, guys? We were right.
Sometimes miracles do happen.
Yeah.
That's a dick thing to say. We were kind of talking with people after the rehearsals, the jury quote-unquote show. A lot of people were kind of saying, I don't like it, but when it's on, I'm singing along with it.
I find myself like bobbing my head to it. That it really is a catchy thing, but my God.
If it was just the bum 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 bum, then I could probably get more into it.
If you took that song and put totally different lyrics to it, would it be better?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
I wasn't bothered by the lyrics so much because we've had silly songs before that were perfectly fine.
I mean, it could still be silly.
Yeah, I just don't. It was missing that thing. Like, it was a something that just kind of put it over the edge and make it like a real contender. For me, at least.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And back to the semifinals, Ireland stay after a brief moment in the sun last year.
I can't wait until next year to find out what the lesson they thought they were supposed to learn from this is. We'll see.
We'll see. TBD.
We'll see. If this was 11th, I'm going to... And it very well could have been.
A lot of potential 11ths in this group of six, I'm just going to say.
Yeah, one that I don't think was 11th, Georgia, didn't get through. Czechia, I think we mostly identified that was in trouble.
Yeah, we loved the song. We loved Adonis. It just didn't quite have enough. And he also did miss a major vocal cue moment, which...
Yes.
I don't know if there was an in-ear monitor problem or he just flubbed an entry, but...
Mm-hmm. Breathed his own spit or something.
Yeah. Or just miscounted the beat.
It happens. And it doesn't diminish his... or any of these artists' talents and amazing work that they've put in. Just, you know, we talk about things that, oh, yeah, it's an automatic... You know, we knew it wasn't going to qualify. We're not disparaging the people. We're not disparaging... the countries. It's just something has to fall we have to look at why.
It's a shame because it was already on the fence, I think, to start. And as soon as he missed that line, everybody, at least in the press center, was like, well, that's it.
There was definitely that sort of audible, like...
Oh. Like when somebody misses a penalty kick in soccer.
It's too bad.
I will say that we had three yeses, three thumbs up on this. Eric, you were right. You said
what?
No.
Oh, that shirt's coming off off the website.
Eric, put a different shirt on, please. We're recording.
No. Now, Pajama Cast. And then if we had to say goodbye to Prink. This is another one that I think could have very well been 11th. I remember having said I thought either one of Montenegro or Serbia would be in. It seemed like they would kind of congregate around one of those, but that is not what happened. No former Yugoslav republics in the final. None. Yeah,
very true. I mean, granted, you know, we don't have North Macedonia and Bosnia-Herzegovina in the contest. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we've lost Slovenia and we lost Croatia in the last round. We lose Montenegro and we lose Serbia here. Do we have notes on when the last time we were Yugoslavless was in a final?
I definitely saw it. I don't remember what it was.
It was like 10 years ago or something.
I thought I heard someone say 2014, but I don't quote me on that.
2014, I think, was the last time we got all of the Nordics.
Okay.
Which we also did. We also got all of the Baltics. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, the fact that we don't have North Macedonia anymore, Bulgaria.
Bulgaria is not a former Yugoslav, but certainly in that region.
The fact that we've had so many dropouts from that region, Moldova as well, and Romania, mm-hmm. it seems like that has made the road harder for other countries in that region, as kind of evidenced by this year that what we got none of and what we got everything of.
Yeah,
and that's. Mm-hmm.
It's a tough year for ballads.
Yeah. Especially, you can probably chalk a lot of that up to the fact that this is a 100% televote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that has a ton to do with it. They just really struggle in these things. I mean, how many ballads do we have? Israel got through. Greece. Yeah, that's not a surprise.
Greece as well.
Greece, mm-hmm. I think, kind of counts.
If we were going to get one ballad, though, it would have been Greece.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Looking at the first semifinal, there's basically nothing.
Do you? Portugal might be the closest. Ballady. Yeah, the slowest, certainly.
I mean, do you think that's the sort of thing that makes the EBU look at the voting and think maybe we need to bring back the juries?
It might. It might.
That was my takeaway from last night. As soon as it was over, I was like, yeah, we need those juries back now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, I really would have liked to see Slovenia in. I thought that was a really good performance and would have been a nice fit mm-hmm. in with the final. That was really the only ballad in that semi at all. But yeah. getting Mila in there or something like that would have been really cool because now the final is insane.
Yeah, I mean, and it also makes a song like France stand out that mm-hmm. much more.
That's, yeah.
I mean, you can also say Austria as a operatic ballad with a bit of a drop at the end there.
Up to a point, yeah. So our qualifiers, we had 6 straight qualifiers from 4 through 9, which is a lot.
That's wild.
Latvia, yes. Armenia, get parged. JJ, sure. Claudia, good. Lithuania, holy crap.
Jaws dropped.
A pleasant surprise out of the gates.
And they were the first split screen, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know some people around us were like, oh, I think it could be them. I think, are they going to do it? And they did it. I still, on a fundamental level, hate that stupid split screen thing. It's just so unnecessary. But my God, the drama it creates is sorcery.
Yeah, I kind of get it. I absolutely get it. And you know, if you think about, you know, last year first one out of the envelope was Dawn's. Mm-hmm. Another major surprise, an underrated song that nobody really expected. Little Dawnsy that could. And I look at the drama out of that versus the drama of this, and I really kind of like the arc that it took with the split screen this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's they've done a good job in both of the semifinals, I think, of creating a narrative that is interesting with the order in which they're revealing the qualifiers.
Mm-hmm. They say it's a random order.
That's not true.
That's a lie.
I mean, it's random in the sense that we don't know what's coming next, but it's certainly not random in the sense of, show production and creating a story.
I think it gets finessed a bit.
Yeah, and it's certainly random in terms of where it placed on scoreboard over the night. It's random in terms of where it was in the running order. But in terms of what makes for a good show, I'm sure that there's, mm-hmm. there are forces at play.
And we got a great last moment as well where the realization comes in. either, I mean, it, there were a number of things that could have been the last thing to go, but we knew that that either Australia or Greece were out, and both of those would be extremely surprising. Mm-hmm. Theoretically, they could have both been out if, like, Serbia had surged or something like that.
Yeah, we had that moment of, oh my God, it's going to be Ireland, isn't it?
Oh, that too, yeah. Like if Ireland beat out both of these, that's insane. Like Australia not qualifying, it's a weird song. It's a surprise, but it's not super hard to swallow for me. Greece not making it would have been an enormous shock. Bigger than Red Sebastian.
Yeah, that would have been a gut punch.
Yeah.
I mean, she sang it perfectly. Yep. It looks incredible on the screen. Mm-hmm. Big reaction from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the end. I'm like, well, it's obviously Greece.
It feels like it has to be Greece. I'm so terrified that it's not.
Yeah. Somebody comes in with a deck chair and just... Yeah.
I mean, with everything else that's happened, wouldn't be surprising. I mean
these things happen. It's possible, but man, that performance was flawless.
Yeah.
And it deserved to be in the final, and it is.
I also just wanted to shout out, I saw a video of Klavdia receiving a phone call from 90-year-old Eurovision legend and Greek music legend Nana Mouskouri, who called to...
Oh,
who
wrote Sober the Greek.
No, I mean, speaking as a legend of the Greek music scene, I believe she was also involved in Greek politics for a while. Like, this woman is an icon and fellow bespectacled.
Aww. Yeah.
At a time when oftentimes we bespect, you know, Liz and I are both very proud glasses wearers. But just to have that moment of connection from an absolute icon of the Greek scene, of the, you know, of Eurovision history, it was a really, really sweet moment. I recommend that you find that video.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine, like, you're about to go onto to the stage at Eurovision, biggest stage that you've ever had in your life, hoping to get to an even bigger stage with the final, and suddenly you get a phone call and it's, let's see, who would be a legend?
Pink. Not for me.
But like...
Barbara Streisand.
Yeah,
Tom Hanks or something. Just like,
yeah.
He would have typed up a letter and sent it to you.
Tanks.
That's Chuck Schumer. oh God.
But yeah, just imagine that moment.
Yeah. The very quick, like, lightning fast costume change that she has at the end too is crazy.
Gasp worthy.
Yeah.
Interesting enough too, when she went to the green room, she put the black dress back on. Which I thought was an interesting choice.
Hmm. I mean, it looked cozy.
It does look cozy, yeah.
Yeah.
But like all the costume changes and the breakaway outfits, it's like, yeah, I'm going to put this dress on over my current dress and wear the dress of the night. Seems like an odd choice.
Yeah.
I can't speak to how comfortable anything is.
She looked great either way.
Yeah.
I love how we completely glossed over Georgia, too, by the way.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we did. Oh, Georgia didn't qualify. Well, George, also.
Georgia... Yeah, Georgia also didn't make it. That one is maybe the least surprising. It has never really
entered the equation.
Yeah. I just want to say, though, the only thing I want to say about Georgia is it looked and sounded incredible. I think it has one of the best dance routines of the entire year.
I mean, traditional Georgian dance is an absolute stunning thing to behold. Mm-hmm. Like the swirling, and oftentimes they have swords and the incredible hat. It's incredible.
There's a cool, like, building up beat towards the end of that I don't know that I'd even noticed in the previous performances. And I was like, ooh, this is really picking up. And then the song ended.
Oh, when she does that little thing at the very end.
Yeah, yeah. So that was briefly exciting and then ultimately disappointing.
She performed it very admirably.
She gave it her all.
Yeah, she really, really did. Mm-hmm. It's just, it was a subtle song, like we were saying, in a crazy semifinal, in a... Yeah, what can you do? Some things just don't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hey everybody, it's Danny. In contrast to last time, in contrast to Tuesday, I don't really have any complaints about what Peacock did for the stream. It was really good quality. The ads for Poker Face were relatively unobtrusive. Yeah, it was fine. In terms of the results... In terms of the performances, there's a lot to go over. And, you know, everyone else on the podcast has probably already touched on this, but I'm going to touch on one specific thing. I'm going to focus on Czechia, our big pour it out moment here. I've been watching a little bit of the press stuff that Adonis has been doing. And there was a very interesting little clip I was able to see of him talking with a reporter who asked him sort of point blank why Czechia... And I'm really glad that this reporter pointed it out, because we pointed it out enough on the show. But why doesn't Czechia take Eurovision seriously? Adonis said something about how the media landscape in the Czech Republic sort of has this habit of focusing on the flashiest and stupidest stuff as sort of representative of Eurovision, and that he bemoans that. Adonis rightly bemoans that. It's not accurate, and it's a little bit unfair to the contest as a whole, but if it were completely unfair, then it wouldn't feel so unusual for this specific spate of songs that we have this year to be advancing to the final. Very prominently, we have Australia being eliminated, in my opinion, rather rightfully so. That is a very, very hyper-sweet piece of dessert, but this dessert, unfortunately, on stage wasn't accomplished very well. So I can totally see why it did not advance. And instead, a bunch of other things that seem very serious seemed to advance, things that seem very un-Eurovision-y in a way that I think Adonis is describing the way that the Czech press as a whole seems to think of Eurovision. I think that the Czech press would be very pleased to see acts like Lithuania and Latvia go through two acts that are not usual fare, that are not of popular, broad, assured appeal. I'm very, very happy to see them go through, even if it means at the expense of something like Czechia. We've talked on the podcast about how Czechia's was very, very artful, but it was just missing a couple of things. You know, that dance break I wish was just a little bit longer. Eric was pointing out during the show that it was a little bit bland in staging. And I do think that's probably what ultimately doomed it, but I'm extremely curious to see where the votes laid out for Czechia. That's the only one that I was really, really mourning. It was the only one that I voted for this whole semifinal round that did not advance. I'm very sad for it, but I'm also extremely happy that, you know, you have extremely exciting, fun, ridiculous stuff like Ich Komme, like go through with passing with flying colors. I can only imagine. That's a little bit silly, but there is a sort of kind of, you know, let's have a lot of fun. It's not completely flouting this idea. It doesn't feel like that going through is an insult to something like, you know, if it was put next to Latvia or Lithuania. I think it all belongs there. It's all part of the Eurovision buffet. I think mostly they're talking about things like Bada Bada Bastu, which just seems extremely silly in an unserious way. It would feel strange for Bada Bada Bastu to, you know, I don't mean to be a high art wet blanket, but it would feel kind of sad for it to win by a mile when things like, you know, like Austria are there. I'll say a couple of things about all of the countries as a whole that I'm extremely pleased to see. Every single Nordic, Scandinavian, and Baltic country is through. I know we can say what we want about Estonia, but they are all through, and we're happy for all of them. I think all of them, except for Estonia, have sent some real fun, wild, crazy stuff. Like, everyone can be very proud of themselves. Yeah, it's cool. I'm very much looking forward to the grand final, especially because I think this is the first year when I can say all five of the big five have sent something that I could have seen qualifying. Spain by a mile, Italy quite comfortably, Germany is the big surprise this year with something absolutely fun and seems to have popular appeal, France being very, very France, and the UK sending something that, you know, say what you want about it, but I'm glad to see them absolutely sell it for the camera. The camera loves those three girls. They know how to command a stage of this size and to play to the camera. I was very impressed, even if the song is a little bit unserious. Yeah, don't mean to be very dour or to want to be the intellectually high-minded one here at the Eurovision Song Contest, which is about pop songs, but I'm very excited to see how someone like Latvia is going to do at the contest. I sure hope it doesn't go the same way that Ulvaham did with Norway, you know, coming in dead last with something that is such a huge risk and something that's super cool and dark and different. I don't know if I have any predictions, but I think it's down to a three-way race, you know, between Austria, Sweden, and Finland. You know that my vote is for Finland, but you know, they need redemption, they need revenge, they need satisfaction, and I can see Erica getting it for her. Glad to see that me as the only defender of Denmark have come through, vindicated. Thank you very much. That's all.
Only 10 can go through to the final. Speaking of the final, overnight, while we fell into our night pasta comas and got a little bit of rest, we got the running order final. This is insane. We're not going to go through every single thing here. I will just read off. Let's start with the first half. Norway, lighter opener.
Solid opener. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our Poupe Laura gets the death slot, which is a bummer, but somebody's got to go there. Estonia, Israel, then Lithuania, Spain, Ukraine, UK, Austria at 9, pretty good spot for them. Iceland 10, Latvia 11, Netherlands and Finland. That's our first half. Finland gets the latest spot she possibly could after drawing first half. Mm. Netherlands also right there. Latvia getting a very good spot there. This is one of those cases where I remember thinking of this about In Corpore Sano a few years ago, where that got such an incredible spot in the running order and just sort of made us wonder, did this do better than we thought?
And it did.
And yes, it did.
I also find it interesting that they decided to put Wasted Love and Roa back to back. So we have our two boat songs.
It's a single narrative.
This chapter is just boats.
It's a single narrative of the same boat.
I'm just imagining, you know, yeah. JJ on his boat bobbing across the ocean, brokenhearted, broken sailed, and just and suddenly coming from the other direction are these two guys from Iceland just going, "Yay, we're on a boat!" Just having a trip.
This is like the double middle finger experience in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, in 2021, Finland and Germany.
Yeah, I Don't Feel Hate was immediately followed by Dark Side. which, oh my God, that was really, really good. What else stands out to you in this first group? Half? Yeah.
Kind of shocked Luxembourg was second, which seems like an odd spot to put kind of a more energetic, upbeat song. Usually, like, that's where you stick a slower ballad or something kind of a bit more low-key.
I mean, yeah, I could have seen Lithuania. Well, Lithuania is so intense. I feel like you need to give that a little more time almost.
Yeah.
You could have maybe put Ukraine there, as much as I like it.
Again?
They went second last year. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's
fair. I don't want to dig on any country. I'm going to preface it by saying I think Israel would have been good in the second spot because it is a slower ballad.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
There. And you have like, you kind of got the high of Norway and then you kind of come down a little bit with, you know, Israel, and then you can pick it up again. Estonia is in the third spot. Mm-hmm. So then you got something goofy. So you have a nice blend of.
Yeah. In terms of the feel of the song, I think it would have been a good spot for them, but I guess I'm not surprised that they didn't put Israel at two.
It's a decent set change order for the crew. Because Kyle's got his Eye of Sauron rock thing. And
Luxembourg doesn't have anything.
Nor does Tommy. And then you get your Crystal Palace for Israel.
Oh, the staircase?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then nothing other than the
Lithuania, the band.
The instrument, which is easy enough.
And then you turn around to get your stair business and the curtain for Asa Diva. Mm-hmm. And then band for, you know, so that actually from a set change perspective creates a pretty clean set change series.
Yeah. I suppose they do consider those things for their TV show.
All of your props back to back to back is what a nightmare that would be for everyone.
Even though I will say that we have later on in the show, we've got the back to back of Barabarabastu and Mamol, which is going to, I have a feeling that's going to
be a break
take,
there.
There's got to be a commercial break there. Between those, which will help negate the fact that it is completely insane to put those two songs back to back. Let's go ahead and look at the second half. Opening up with Italy, that coming after Finland is amazing.
That's a sawtooth. Then we go up to
Gaia and Baller back to back. Love it. Mm-hmm. Then we go to Greece, Estromata. Then we get Parged. Then we've got Voyage from Switzerland going right. This is insane.
Oh my God.
Then going into Serving from Malta, then what? Portugal, then Hallucination, good Lord, then Barabarabastu, then Maman, then Tutta l'Italia, and Germ.
Closing the show is what a sawtooth.
This is beyond a sawtooth. This is like Bart Simpson hair. Like, this is, first off, congrats to Albania.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Who's, I think, odds for that top five, if not more, if not better, that we've been talking about, I think, is shooting up a bit.
I love that they put San Marino at 25. Just, you know, I think the contrast between the absolute populist crassness of Tutta l'Italia, followed by something beautiful and fascinating and artsy and well-performed to close it out, is going to be awesome.
I think that's actually going to serve Albania really, really well. Yeah. For them to have a high energy song at Tutta l'Italia, like you were saying, and then just to have it into this song that is weird, but it has that still that energetic, that kind of throb, that thrum that is still incredibly engaging. I feel like if you put Albania after a ballad, people might just kind of gloss over it. But hearts are already racing as you go into this last song, and we're excited to go for the finish. And we're ending with something that is iconic.
Mm-hmm. And the two songs couldn't be any more different, because you're going from what is effectively a commercial jingle to like a really complex art piece.
Yeah, work of art.
And
yeah.
The fact that it's at the end, I think, really helps it, because it gives people a minute to like think about it.
Yeah.
Whereas everything else, like we're going into the next song, or we're going into a commercial break or something, like you're kind of getting bombarded, and here it's like, okay, here's Albania, now sit with that for a few minutes while we transition into the voting.
It is just so good, and it is another one of those cases, like I was saying earlier, about how well did this do in that semi that they're that they feel confident about putting it last and not putting a sort of a throwaway thing at the end or something like that. And I'm just looking at semi one again. I'm going to throw out a guess that it was second after Kai.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I could see it.
Our exit poll showed that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very popular.
I mean, I'm sure Claude is up there. I expect Estonia was up there, but I'm going to say they were second in that vote.
I cannot wait to see these numbers.
I got to believe. So in the last four songs, just looking at that grouping, like that to me looks like maybe three of what I would maybe consider best chance for top five songs.
Yeah.
In the last four slots.
Sweden, France, Albania.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's going to be a very, very interesting voting.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. The bunching up of some huge, huge heavy hitters, my mind immediately went to 2021. So I double checked what the running order on that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Shum followed by Voila was a thing that year, which is just crazy. Then we had a few also-rans. I also forgot Effendi and Tix were back-to-back. And then we had Måneskin basically very shortly after that. And
they closed the show, right?
No, they were 24th. After that was Sweden, which ended up underperforming, but that was another one that, and it closed with Adrenalina.
That was great.
Yeah. Which did not do well at all.
No.
It did not.
In our hearts, it did, though.
Yeah.
It got 50 points, which was 50 more than the song in last place. Anyway, that show was incredible. Looking at like the final standings of that, just seeing how that ended up looking. Two Loon Iver and 10 Years were also back to back in that show. It reminded me of that. I hope that ends up kind of coming to fruition as well. That there are going to be some incredible back-to-backs and moments here. I mean, C'est la vie and Ikoma back-to-back. And then Italy also, depending on if there's a break in there anywhere. That is a hell of a run. The last four here are just extraordinary.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Do we have any indication on when our commercial breaks might be?
Well, I mean, we don't know for sure, but between Sweden and France, without question, because the France setup literally takes like four and a half minutes.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So there'll certainly be a decent sized break there. Latvia takes quite a bit of time to set up. I'd imagine there'd be one.
Yeah, their curtains. Yeah.
After Iceland, before Latvia.
I might guess Malta. The lips and the ball have been a bit of a...
Yeah. Oh, that'd been a problem, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, could you say that again?
The lips and the ball.
Yeah.
But at
thankfully,
least...
just the one ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least, though, the thing is that Malta is coming right after Switzerland, which is very, very minimal.
Right.
So that's going to be a boon for
you
the
don't
Maltese
have to strike
setup.
Anything before you.
Exactly. And I then think, Portugal's yeah. after it, which is a simple band
just
setup.
Just the band setup, mm-hmm. yeah. So I think, but it, like in terms of what we've seen thus far, setup has been pretty difficult for Latvia and Malta for sure. Mm-hmm. France also took a long time to get the tarp out and then to get the sand, the base level of sand out.
Yeah, the kitty litter, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah.
This show is so awesome.
this is a wild year. Like, I just, mm-hmm. everyone must be exhausted at this point and they have to do it again.
Yeah.
Four times.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So let's see. What do we know about? We don't know a ton about the particulars of the interval acts in the final. We know that Nemo will have a performance. Nemo just dropped a new song, so I assume that that's going to be involved mm-hmm. in some fashion. We know Karia has yet to show up and is apparently going to. We know Baby Lasagna is going to be involved. That's about all we know at the moment. I assume we will have a new musical tribute to Martin Osterdahl.
It's got to do some PR work.
Yeah, yeah. We need. Yeah, this one's got to be
after being unfairly maligned last year.
Yeah.
When we get a new host for this show too, don't we?
We do.
It's
Graham Norton.
It's not Graham Norton.
No, Michelle Hunziker will be joining for part three. So. Yeah, a well-known name. She's hosted many shows before. I believe she actually has co-hosted Sanremo or has appeared. I want to say she's done Sanremo. But yeah, multilingual, started as a model and then kind of seamlessly went into acting and hosting and all that good stuff.
It'd be interesting to see how that dynamic changes the Sandra and Hazel pairing.
Yeah, totally. Looks like looking at my notes, she did host San Remo in 2007.
Ah, fantastic.
And 2018.
So not her first rodeo, certainly.
Not her first rodeo.
We really just need Hazel, if you're asking me.
All Hazel all the time?
I feel like she's in that top tier. Like, I was a little hesitant to say it after Semi-1 just because, like, there's a lot of show left. But no. No, she's a legend.
She's
already.
She's just the weirdest person I've ever seen.
You know, she was born in San Diego.
She was.
Really?
She was, yeah. And then looking forward to the end of the show, it looks like countries are beginning to confirm their spokespeople. There was a change. I was looking forward to seeing Shudigatwa reading out the voice for the United Kingdom. He has bowed out and has been replaced by Murder on the Dance Floor herself, Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Saltburn song?
Yeah. Other familiar names that have come out so far. Sephora from Azerbaijan. Nutsa Budzeladze for Georgia. Michael Schulte for Germany. Hedda Björk for Iceland. Nikki Byrne for Ireland.
Ooh.
Topo Gigio from Italy, which I just cannot wait to see. Tom Hugo for Norway.
Yeah.
Yolanda from Portugal, who we just saw in the first semifinal interval. Sinit from San Marino.
Hey.
Chanel for Spain.
Hey.
Jerry Heil for Ukraine, and I'm sure more names are going to come out in the next day or so.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Crazy. I just can't believe we're coming down to the home stretch of this.
Oh yeah, it is just about there. So with that in mind, we'll do the thing that we did in the previews. We'll start with the negative. What's your guess on last place?
UK. I'm sorry. I don't think it deserves it, but
it certainly does not.
It doesn't. I think Ewan said it, and I said this earlier. It'll get some points from the jury. I don't think anyone in the televote audience is gonna like give it enough love to warrant points in the end. It's gonna be like 11th or 12th overall, which is zero.
I mean, I think it's the safest bet. If it's not them,
Iceland maybe.
With all the Nordics.
That has its fans.
Lithuania.
I mean, the thing is, you say Iceland, there are all the Nordics, but I mean,
they're going to vote for each other. Right. That's going to divide the vote up. Right, exactly. Which is interesting. Yeah. I was talking to Liz about this last night. We have all the Baltics and all the Nordics. And usually if like we'll eliminate some of the Nordics and then that Nordic vote will consolidate. Are they going to kind of split each other up a bit this year?
Yeah. I was thinking maybe Norway could end up at the bottom.
Yeah, I could see that.
I would not be surprised.
Super especially opening the show. Yeah. Super early. It's just kind of a fine song.
It's like a more mellow pop song. Mm-hmm. And it's not super memorable, if I'm being honest, at least for me. I think, yeah, it could get lost very quickly. Mm. Have the Australia effect.
I do worry a little bit about Lithuania. I'm so, so thrilled to be in there, for them to be in the mix. Mm-hmm. It's incredible, but I worry, you know, after what happened to Ulvaham last year.
Lithuania tends to overperform just in general.
Could be.
Also, it's the kind of song that I feel like some of the juries will give it some points and it'll get some televote points. So it's not going to be completely shut out.
Yeah.
And I worry there's a couple of songs that could get a zero in one or the other.
Yeah. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong, but it's just a theory. It's just a potential. We're just exploring our options. What has a path to the bottom?
I mean, Poland's got friends, but I'm a little concerned about that.
It felt like a very comfortable qualifier, but not
a
final like glower, which worries, especially because it's like all spectacle and no substance. Mm-hmm. And now we have spectacle and substance.
Yeah. And how does San Marino fare on that front?
I think people are done with San Marino.
Yeah, no, that was the other one I thought.
Well, 12 points from Italy, though.
Maybe.
The public? The televote?
No, they're going to, yeah.
Yeah, fair.
But that's only 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope we don't see any zeros.
You mean at like...
Just overall.
Overall. I don't think anyone's going to get like ultimate, like a final zero, but I think there's going to be a couple of zeros in the jury televote split. I can see Estonia getting zero from the jury, honestly.
Oh, sure.
Unless somebody votes for it just out of solidarity with being another Baltic state. Though Estonia kind of exists in this weird place where it's not Baltic and not Nordic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it wants to be.
It's just Estonia.
Yeah, I could see them getting like 1 or 2 points from the jury and then like 150 points for the total.
Yeah, I bet a couple of juries will get a kick out of it. I mean, I forget exactly how it works, but the juries are so small. If a couple people on a single jury just really dig it, then it's probably getting a few points.
Yeah.
I
could see this being the Michael Schbach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For folks who don't remember the song, Color of Your Life, Poland 2016 was basically ignored by the juries, and then when they were coming out with the televote scores, which they basically did instead of bottom to top of how they did with the juries, they basically gave out the votes that year in the order of bottom to top public vote. So
and he kept not getting mentioned. Yeah.
And suddenly, you know, however many hundreds of points that he got from the televote suddenly skyrocketed him to top 10.
Just I think out he was of like absolutely third in the televote.
Yeah, something absolutely insane. Just
I think last in the jury or something. He had like single digits.
He was really low in the jury.
It was insane.
Yeah, and just to see that.
Oh man! All right, here's the big question. It's the question on everyone's mind. It's the thing everyone's talking about. Mm. Who's winning?
Is it just Sweden? Is it just Sweden?
I'm going to be honest, I'm the guy who doesn't like Sweden. I can't see anyone else winning at this point. Like we've seen all the performances, we've seen all the reactions. Well, I don't know what it's doing, but it's going to take some kind of shift or upending to like take it out. I don't see anything else really competing with it. I don't think Austria doesn't have that thing to be a winner. I don't really see it with Finland either. And those are the, I guess, the two biggest ones. Mm-hmm. Albania, I think, has a really good shot at doing well. Again, though, it doesn't feel like a winner to me.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with Derek on this. And I like the song, The Guys Seem Amazing. I feel like a lot of my anti-Sweden winning sentiment is just being, you know, perfectly selfish. And I admit that. I realize I'm coming in with a bias. But unless a video of the guys from Kai kicking puppies comes out, which seems unlike them, I think it's... I look forward to being wrong. But I think it's probably them, and we're off to Globen next year.
Yeah, I think anything besides Sweden is a surprise at this point. I saw a tweet. I'm sorry, whoever said this. I don't remember who you were, but it was a very good analysis that it was basically either Sweden pulls a Måneskin in terms of solid jury, overwhelming televote, or Austria pulls a Tattoo, or somebody like France pulls a Duncan Jamala. Lawrence.
Yeah, Jamala Duncan Lawrence.
It's an interesting breakdown because all three of those are possible. I think, to kind of amend my previous statement, I think the only country right now that has a shot at kind of doing the upset is France. I can see her doing exceptionally well with the jury and very well with the televote, such that it can push her
it's
through.
It's definitely possible. I think not a super strong shot, but an outside chance of pulling off that Duncan Lawrence, Jamala sort of thing. Maybe Finland, maybe Albania. But anything outside of that, I think, would just shock me.
At this point, for me, even beyond the win, my result that I'm having my eye on is Albania beating its high watermark. That, for me, is the goal.
That'll be interesting. Yeah.
So just really quick then, in no particular order, like, are we kind of in agreement on the top five that we think?
Well, I think close. Israel probably sneaks into the top five.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Probably. Maybe like fifth again.
Yeah, so something of those other five that we mentioned would have to underperform a little bit. I could see that being Austria if it just doesn't click as much as we think. Austria's televote score is such a big question. And Finland, I could see the jury is just not... Not feeling that could be like a Kaino type situation almost.
I feel like it's got enough spectacle and enough vocal heft that the juries will give it something. Because I mean, how did Korea got 100, like 100 even, which not great, but I could see her doing somewhere between 100 and 150.
I think as we learn the makeup of the juries, it would be a really interesting product to see how Erika does with jurors split by age
or by gender
sexual
preference
that would be a really interesting deep dive to see who responded to that and where and how much.
We don't usually get that information, right? We get who the jurors were, but not how they voted.
We get juror A, B, C, D, E, and we know who the jurors are, but we don't know which juror is A, B, C, D, and E.
Yeah.
I wonder, too, and maybe this is just kind of an outstanding question, is do any of these countries have an ace up their sleeve of any kind, something that they've saved for the final? I know we've talked about France and a potential dress change there.
I've heard that rumor as well. I don't know what kind of dress she would need to wear that would be that much of a change.
Yeah, what would be so transformative about that?
If it's a bad dress, it'll certainly
be
distracting. Yes, a hideous dress would certainly do it.
Yeah. If she comes out in some sort of confection, you know, like some...
Or like pictures of children all over her body.
I don't think she would do
that. Emmy's dress from Ireland's performance.
Yes, astronaut. That little hood thing just fills up with sand as the show goes on.
I mean, we certainly saw Italy last year play around with the various jumpsuits and the, you know, costume differences. I don't know that that's enough to make or break a song at this point. But
yeah, I mean, sometimes during rehearsals, acts will play around and say, okay, I've got dress A, B, and C. We'll see which one looks best on camera. I mean, I remember Jamala back in 2016. She had the blue outfit that we saw, and there was also a black one, I want to say.
I think so.
And then actually during her open press conference, rip open press conferences, she just asked the public, which do you guys like more? And everybody said the blue one. And
yeah. And it was a pretty straightforward dress. It wasn't like...
It wasn't anything wacky, crazy. Right? Yeah. It was just, you know, which one do you think looks better on camera? And I'm sure she would have made up her own decision no matter what the press had said, but that was something that she took into account. Or the delegation. So another reason why I miss the open press conferences with the artists.
Yeah, so somebody can get up and ask, is that what you're wearing, really?
And then you wonder, too, if any of the acts have saved something vocally in the tank to
I'm sure a little Austria
more
has.
Zhuzh. Oof.
It's interesting, ever since Scream by Sergei Lazarev, like, he really held back in the semi because he knew he was going to qualify and he would have to belt it out in the final. And it's gotten me thinking, like, yeah, there's a few artists who their vocal performance has to be so extraordinary. I mean, Austria, I think, would be number one. I think this is the time to whip it out.
Mm-hmm. So,
excuse me, I'm sorry.
With Erica Vickman. No, but I like, you know, he's an opera singer. He's got that in his pocket. He can, you know, really go for it, especially in the final. Like, moment. He's got to do that.
He wasn't great last night.
He wasn't, but maybe that was a choice.
I think through the first chorus, I remember when he first went into the operatic range, it was outstanding. But then in subsequent ones, it was a little bit off. And, I mean, thankfully for him, he did enough. There was some talk around our table that Austria was going to be a shock non-qualifier, that people just weren't going to get it. And come on.
Yeah.
That staging is so cool. Everything about that is just really, really neat.
I think the only shock, I mean, as long as he does a decent job, the only shock would be if it fell out of the top five. But even then, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, and it came within 3-4 votes of winning our audience poll. And I'm sure that was... I mean, I'll be honest, I'm reminded a little bit of when I wasn't super strongly considering Switzerland as a possible winner last year until it won an audience poll really comfortably. And I thought, oh, okay, so this is going to do better with the televote than I thought. It quite possibly is going to be this. I will say there are a lot of Austrians here.
Yes, of course.
That vote that he got, JJ got, that came so close to finishing ahead of Erica, was, I think, aided by where we are.
Geographically,
but even so, it did quite a bit better than I expected. So we'll see.
I mean, and the thing is, a lot of those votes from an audience perspective, they're not necessarily seeing what's coming across on TV in terms of camera angles, in terms of the black and white, in terms of, you know, things like that. So,
yeah, a couple of songs. I'd say that's one. If you see it in the arena, it's like, whatever. It's not that impressive because he's just standing on this little raft for the entire thing.
Yeah, it's a tough one for like the audience to get engaged with.
But his vocal performance, I think, is enough to like impress
really
them.
Elevate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we've all seen all of these songs several times performed live. Are there still any moments that make you go, wow?
That closing of the French song kind of gets me. And I think she's figured out that she needs to belt out that last note and then stop. So then when her daughter's voice comes in, she pointed. I thought that was kind of clever.
That put the button on it. Yeah. I thought that was
that was really cute.
That was exactly what she needed to do. The first time that we saw that in full rehearsal, it just kind of
clicked.
It didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
But now it really, really did.
Well, because she does that, and then you hear it, and then she puts kind of her hands on her chest and just sort of like, you could just see it like affect her.
Yeah.
And that really works, I think, visually.
Yeah.
The ending of Grease, that costume change that I mentioned, is still just stunning.
It's so unexpected too.
Yeah. It's quick. I mean, it basically just, there's sort of a cut to black and then it goes back to her and she's in a completely different thing.
Mm-hmm. Latvia, just all
I was just thinking like when the tails appear in that, I just like, ooh, you're like, oh, that's such a cool shot.
That's the sort of visual thing that like has carried the Czech Republic so much, and I'm sorry to keep ripping on them a bit, but like the fact that We'll just cut that. That's not necessary. And we're at almost an hour. So.
All right, let's stop here.
Yeah, let's. And we could keep on going for literally hours on this. And frankly, over coffee and over lunch, we kind of do. Mm-hmm. But well, let's face it. We have just a couple of hours until the first run through of the grand final. We get to see this all in motion, all coming together. And in about less than 2 days, it's all going to be done. Liz and Eric, you're going to be on your flight back to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Derek and I are going to be hanging out for another day before heading home on our own. It's been a hell of a ride, guys.
Really good week. Really, really great so far. Yeah. Really, really good.
Couldn't imagine doing this with anybody else.
Aww.
And you at home, thank you so, so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You know, the handful of folks who've come up to us over when we're doing our audience polls or if we're just out and about and people recognize us, it's so cool. And
Liz got recognized.
Yay! Hey, shout out to those two guys. You're awesome.
Yeah.
Our fifth Beatle. Great.
Yeah. Sorry you didn't come and hang out with me as well, like Liz suggested.
We love this community, all of it. Whether you're in the bubble, out of the bubble, on the other side of the world from the bubble, we are so, so grateful that you are all joining us, that you take the time to listen to us, whether you're like sitting down really listening to us or if you just have us on in the background while you're working or working out or anything.
In which case, get back to work.
Yeah, seriously. We really, really do appreciate you. I cannot stress that enough. We will catch you on our next episode, which might be
on the other side of the final.
Unless something really wild happens and we need to convene.
We might do a drop podcast.
Yeah, if we need a conclave or something.
Yeah.
The next one should be
post
when we know who won.
Ooh, so. Yeah, it's probably going to be sweet.
Be coming.
Be a coming. All right.
All right, so it's time to start our next episode. So congratulations to Sweden on their historic eighth victory.
I almost feel like we're starting to jinx it at this point.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Good job, Sweden. You did it.
Honest awesome. To God, I've been doing this for 10 years. I want more than anything for there to be like a shock upset winner.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that.
Something totally out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like imagine like there's a song that no one's paying attention to. We're not giving the time of day. Mm-hmm. And holy cow, guys, next year we're going to...
Like
Running Scared was, frankly.
Or like Caesar Sampson, if his televote had been.
A little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be cool. That would be really, really cool. An absolute stunner would really be something.
Well, stay tuned for our next episode and you can find out how stunned we all are. But until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
Oh, I've been Eric.
Yeah. I've been Liz.
And America.
Stop listening now.